Hi, everyone. In reflecting on what to offer this afternoon, I've been kind of going back and forth between feeling like there's a lot to say and there's nothing to say. That maybe is connected in some way with what I will offer, which is kind of a reflection on the simplicity of practice. This practice in particular is really simple. Even the instructions, we can say in a few sentences, relax, recognize that you're aware, notice what's happening in that awareness, and every now and then check the attitude. As you all know, simple doesn't mean easy. And also, I think it's important to recognize that we can't get attached to that simplicity in a way that, those basic instructions are, not a lot of doing. There's a little bit of connecting with being aware, recognizing awareness. But as that begins to gain momentum, even that effort begins to be taken up more by wisdom. And we're not doing it as much. Sayadaw calls this a difference between personal effort, which we need more at the beginning, and Dharma effort, the effort that wisdom will, as wisdom gains momentum, as wisdom becomes strong, wisdom makes the effort and it feels effortless in that time. But as we are making personal effort, there are times when the momentum is, Carol spoke about this too this morning, I think. The momentum of whatever is arising, whatever challenge is arising, may be stronger than the momentum of mindfulness. And when that happens, when the mindfulness can't meet that experience and that experience is kind of taking over, we maybe lose mindfulness even, then we may need to do something. So using whatever familiar means that you have for settling your mind. We've offered some others for this particular practice, the just orienting towards something neutral or simple, refreshing awareness, remembering awareness, consciously expanding the field of what we're aware of when we get kind of focused. Overall, you're also welcome to use whatever tools are in your toolkit, metta, turning attention to the breath. When the mindfulness, the awareness isn't strong enough to meet just what's arising. So there is some doing, and we need to have some wisdom about that. We need to be honest with ourselves about when we can be in that simple, receptive place, and when some skillful means are called for. We can have the agenda of not doing to our detriment at times. I'm just supposed to sit here and let whatever is happening happen, and we're just caught in whatever it is. That's not so helpful. But fundamentally, the practice is simple, and it seems to get simpler in a way. The practice itself gets simpler the stronger the practice is. The more momentum of mindfulness, the more steadiness of the awareness, the stronger the wisdom, the simpler the mind. Sayadaw points to this in one place. This is from Awareness Alone is Not Enough. Only when the mind is simple can wisdom develop. A complicated mind, one that thinks, expects, and plans, blocks off wisdom. The mind must be simple in order to be present and in order to see things just as they are. So that simple mind is a mind without the additions of expectations or plans or agendas. Doesn't mean thoughts aren't arising at all, but they're not arising in the way of driving the awareness. Thoughts can arise in that simple awareness and be known. A plan can arise in that simple awareness and be known. So this simple awareness that receives experience . This came up earlier in one of the groups, and just wanted to kind of tease apart or distinguish the simplicity of the mind that receives experience from what the experience is that's received. Because the steady awareness, this simple, receptive mind, again, like a mirror. A mirror is a really simple object. It's got this glass and it's got this backing, a silver backing. It's a simple object. But it reflects a lot of complexity. It can reflect detail. And so with our simple awareness, it can reflect the amazing complex workings of our bodies and minds, the physical and mental processes, how they interrelate. It's kind of amazing what that simple mindfulness can see. What we think of as the subconscious, the underworkings, those motivations that seem to come out of nowhere. The simpler the mind gets, the more it feels, at least in my experience, the more it feels like there's not a boundary, not a kind of a line of the subconscious, that there's so much that we can see. We can see just the beginning arising of a thought or an intention. We can see that a thought is going to arise before it arises. We can see just those subtle, subtle movements of mind. We can know when the mind is headed towards something before it actually arises. The intention. One point I saw the intention in the mind, one of my early, early insights around anger, saw the intention in the mind arise to become angry. I think I talked about this the other day. Thought arising about the person in the mind, like wanting to jump on that thought and think more thoughts to get angry, but it wasn't angry at that moment. It just saw the intention to get angry. and seeing that intention, that simple awareness in that moment, there was simple awareness, just seeing mind headed towards anger, and wisdom in that moment. Thank you, wisdom, said, I don't think so. We're not going to go there. Let it go. So this simple awareness can reveal complex workings of the mind. Sometimes we can kind of think we have to do that work of seeing the complexity. You might think we have to do that. I remember a few times in my some of my long retreats at IMS, I would have a sitting where the mind was seeing some of this complexity, and it was kind of mind blowing. But then when I'd leave the hall and I'd come back in, I'd think, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that seeing. Yes, that's true. I can't do that kind of seeing. Wisdom does that kind of seeing. But I thought I had to do it. I thought I had to create that. Thank goodness we don't have to do that. Our work is very simple. Recognizing what's here. Knowing awareness and knowing what awareness is meeting, what it's already meeting. So simple. Sometimes if it feels like, and so this reflection has been a useful one for me. Remembering that this meditating mind, only when the mind is simple can wisdom develop. The meditating mind is simple. It sometimes feels like the meditation is complicated. Maybe it's complicated because we're trying to find or see something in particular, or, we've heard something that we're trying to do. And so as I see this kind of thing happen in my mind, if it feels like the meditation is complicated, I just have this little mantra for myself. It's like, okay, the meditating mind is simple, not complicated. If it's complicated, that's just an object. That's just something to be aware of. So if it feels like there's a complication happening, the meditation feels hard or complex, that's just something to be aware of. Complication is happening. Complication is just an object, another object that can be known with this simple mind. A question came up in the group earlier too about investigation, and some of what we talk about in our talks, and maybe this, this may be something useful to recognize. When are we talking about the practice? Just what the practice actually is. Be aware. Notice what's arising. And when are we talking about what that awareness might know or recognize? Yesterday, Carol was talking about the possibility that steady awareness can know not self, can know personality view arising and passing away, recognize that it's not stable. And we might pick that up and think that's something we have to do, but that's a description of something that can be revealed. Not something we have to try to make happen. As Carol said, It's already happening. The impermanent nature of experience is already happening. The unreliable nature of experience is already happening. The not-self nature of experience is already happening. It's just not seen. There's that misperception. And so sometimes we're talking about that side of things. And the descriptions, the words that we use to explain it, sometimes they sound pretty complicated. You know, there's concepts that we bring in and talk about. And some of that is just to turn the mind towards something that maybe the mind is not familiar with. Maybe the mind hasn't seen before. But you don't have to try to do it. Find it. So a question about investigation. In these descriptions of what you can notice. I spoke of the aggregates the other day, and we can notice the aggregates functioning in our experience. Seeing the functioning of the aggregates, boy, now that's an amazing kind of mind-blowing, complex working of mind and body. How mental formations shape the body and other processes of mind. We can see that. And we might, and there are times that investigation can aim or orient at a particular aspect of experience, where we can pick up investigation as a tool and essentially explore the possibility of maybe I can see some aspect of what they've talked about. Maybe at one point, Sayadaw Utejaniya was talking a lot about perception in the group meetings that we were having. I think it was partly that condition. He was talking about it a lot. But what began to happen is that there got an interest arose in investigating perception. Some of that was a little bit of a doing, a kind of a curiosity. A lot of it was just that the interest had been evoked through those conversations. But there was a little bit of an orientation. How can I see perception? What can I know about how perception works? So there can be a way that investigation does look at particular areas of experience. It's useful to recognize whether that interest in investigating something in particular is coming from qualities of curiosity and kind of an ease of mind, or is it coming from, I better figure that out because I need to have something to report to my teacher. so to recognize if you are picking up investigation, which is a little bit of doing, you know, that can be a piece of our practice at times. But it's useful to know, as Carol was saying, what's the motivation? Investigation can be a skillful means with a motivation of interest, of compassion, of wisdom. Wisdom can motivate investigation too. And sometimes when wisdom is motivating investigation, it doesn't feel like we're doing it. It's just the practice kind of looking like it's taking care of itself. But I also want to point to, you know, even the word investigation, you know, I've been using the word investigation here, but even that word carries connotations for us. We often think of investigation as an analysis, a pulling apart, a figuring out, sometimes a thinking about, and it's got this connotation often of detail, Often we think that in investigation, we're going to see detail of experience. But there's a form of investigation. Maybe we don't even have to use the word investigation. Maybe we can just say being with. Steady awareness, being with experience. No agenda as to what to know. Just steady awareness, meeting experience. That is a form of investigation. Investigation doesn't have to have an agenda, doesn't have to be looking for something. So the quality of investigation is kind of just more that steady awareness infused with curiosity. What's here? That kind of mind will naturally kind of meet and be able to see what is arising in the moment. Like the naturalist, in a way, you know, the naturalist can go out into nature and maybe have an agenda. You know, this is what I want to discover today. Sometimes if you have an agenda in that kind of a situation, you know, you're going to be frustrated because maybe that, you know, you want to look at a particular creature and you go looking for it. Well, I saw it here yesterday. Wow, it's not here today. Well, oh, last week I saw it over there. Maybe I'll go looking over there. Oh, not there either. And then there's all this looking and trying to find that thing that you're interested in looking for, but what you might be missing in that kind of thing. So what if you just sit down and look at what's being revealed already? What's being offered? What is here already? Well, the naturalist can just sit down in the middle of the forest and learn something by just being there. You don't have to have an agenda for investigation. Likewise with this, the mindfulness, it's like the forest. Our body and mind is the forest. And it's this amazing ecosystem of complex interwoven processes and things that influence each other. And we can just sit in the middle of it and see what's available to be seen today. So the steady awareness with wisdom can see a lot, but it might not be happening in the way that we would expect or in the way that we would like it to. Again, coming back to that quote from Sayadaw, only when the mind is simple can wisdom develop. One that thinks, expects, and plans blocks off wisdom. And so if we're thinking about what it means to have that curiosity, like if we've got some belief in the mind that, well, if it's the right kind of curiosity, then I'm going to see a lot of detail. Well, that's one experience that might be showing up in a moment, these interwoven processes, the seeing of these interwoven processes. Complex interrelationship between mental and physical processes. Sometimes it might not be that. What you might be seeing is some diffuse experience that's obscuring detail. That's what you get to see. Like the naturalist in the forest, you know, well, this is what fog is like. This is what it's like when I can't see anything. That's what's available in that moment. So the agenda, there can be some subtle agendas in the mind about what it might mean if there is investigation happening in the mind. Just being with whatever is already here, that is already a kind of investigation. Or maybe we're not even, you know, particularly aware of a detail of particular experience. the steadier the mindfulness gets, the steadier the awareness. Awareness begins to reveal a whole bunch of different kinds of things going on. And, you know, one of those might just be that we're not particularly knowing any kind of detail about experience at all, but just we're seeing this endless stream of things arising and passing away, of experience, just this changing, like it feels like sand flowing through, or, you know, just that's the experience. It's not, and it's an experience of just change, but no kind of clarity of detail about what is changing. It's just this experience of streaming sensation. Experience comes and goes, nothing stable for very long. Maybe that's what's arising in experience. Or maybe what is happening in experience in a moment is just ordinary. Our mind might say, how can this possibly be the way it's supposed to be when I'm meditating? It just feels completely ordinary, you know. Sometimes that's what experience is. This is what ordinary experience is like. Awareness, aware of ordinary. It's amazing. You know, looking around this room, it's like, wow, the mind puts this together and makes sense of it, and it's ordinary. It's kind of extraordinary that it's ordinary. At one point, I reported that to Joseph, and I was kind of in that kind of recognizing, wow, it's all just ordinary, but it's like, there was the recognition at the same time. It's like all of this is made in the mind. This is just little, you know, impressions on the eye and impressions on the body that is just being constructed into this world that seems so ordinary. And I reported to him, and it's just extraordinary. This ordinary is extraordinary. And he kind of laughed, and he said, yeah, it is. And at some point, it just becomes really ordinary. So not even attaching to, oh, it's got to feel like extraordinary ordinary. It can just be really ordinary. So the simplicity of awareness reveals a lot of different levels of experience, in a way, we could say. And those different levels of experience, they're connected to how perception is working in a moment. Sometimes perception is receiving experience in its ordinary way, its familiar way. Objects in the room, knowing the chairs and the sofa and the bookcase, just aware that those are objects in the room, that the perception is at that level. Sometimes the perception is at a different level. I've occasionally experienced, like, one point in Burma, after practicing for a number of weeks, at one point I looked out the window and it was just color and form. There was no sense of any objects in ordinary terms at all. So sometimes perception is at that level. It's no better. It's just another way the mind meets the world. perception meets the world, perception receives and recognizes the world. Sometimes it receives it and recognizes in a very pixelated way. Steve Armstrong likes to use that word, this pixelated kind of experience. Sometimes it is receiving experience in this ordinary way. Sometimes perception is oriented or kind of curious about the impermanent nature of experience. And so the perception is kind of connected to the quality of experience coming and going. We don't have to choose how perception is working. We can just be aware this is what's being noticed at this moment. Simple practice, just receiving. How is it right now? What's the experience right now? Honesty with yourself. This is a really not what idea we have about what it should be like. How actually is it? What is the truth of this moment? What is the actual experience of this moment? Simple. Maybe there's some complication happening, and no complication. Ordinary experience. Awareness is here. What does awareness already? What is awareness already aware of? Takes a lot of trust. To not be in charge. To let go of our agendas we'd like to have happen. It can feel very vulnerable. Maybe we can just be aware of vulnerability. Sometimes this continuity of mindfulness, the steady awareness, in opening to kind of the changing nature of experience happening. That happens sometimes. Sometimes we can kind of land in that space and recognize that we have no idea what will happen next. That it's actually true. It's a truth. We actually have no idea what the next moment is going to bring. But often we end up with a kind of resistance to that truth, kind of a fear, maybe a sense of anxiety, insecurity, vulnerability that comes as we recognize that very deeply. I don't know if I'm going to be here in the next split second. It's really useful to know, recognize if this kind of experience arises for you, that kind of place of aware that we have no idea what the next moment will be, and there's a relationship to it of some kind of fear or vulnerability or anxiety or insecurity. Know that relationship. Often, at least in my exploration of it, that relationship comes because the mind is actually projecting. And it's the idea that I don't know what's going to happen, where the fear is. It's not the reality of the changing experience where the fear is. Sometimes it can be, but often there's this little leap into the next moment. I don't know what's going to be there. God, I want to control. I want to control. Sometimes we might just meet this moment. What's here? This simple awareness meeting. What's here? What's here? What's here? Idea arising, I don't know what's going to happen. Fear arising following that. What's actually here is things being known. Things being known, things being known. At one point I was experiencing so much fear about this place of not knowing what the next thing was going to happen. My mind had complicated that. And I decided, okay, I'm going to meet this unknown. And as I kind of stepped into, I was doing walking meditation, and it's like, okay, where's the unknown? There wasn't any unknown. Every single moment, there was a step, there was sensation. There was a step, there was sensation. It felt like every single moment I was on the edge of some kind of abyss. And that I was stepping into the abyss, but in the next moment, there I was on the edge of the abyss, knowing what was here, simple awareness meeting. This is what's arising. That kind of acknowledgement or opening to that truth of we don't know what the next moment will be, but this moment is here. This moment is known. The opening to the truth of that, the mind can begin to relax. Just relax into simple awareness. So what's here in this moment? Awareness. What is awareness knowing? Maybe it's just ordinary, sitting in this space and hearing these words, recognizing and understanding the content, but aware. Aware. Thank you for your attention. And now we can see if there's any comments.